Baptist seat, Brother Gajardo, come in from Houston, and Brother and Sister Nerlin. I was just thinking of them as I drove away in my car this afternoon. I thought it didn't quite feel like Sunday without seeing the Nerlins, and I'm glad to see them. If it is after supper instead of just at dinner time, where I usually talk. Now, that's not a hint to go to dinner at all. We just had good dinners together and had a good time, and I just didn't forget it. So, and that's why I'm always glad to see my friends come to service and worship the Lord with us. Now, this morning we got into the first part of the message, and I'll try to make a little recap of what we learned, and then go on to the second portion of the first phase of the rapture. Before we do, we'll bow our heads in prayer. Father, again we thank you for your presence with us tonight, knowing, Lord, that your Spirit is here to bless us. It's so good, my God, to feel that you are here in your people. What a wonderful building it is. Not a building made with hands, not out of stone, but, Lord, like a lively building. Lord, that just as it was when Ezekiel saw the doors literally vibrating. My God, we believe tonight that same vibration by the Holy Ghost is in your people. Alive with the life of God, a joy with the joy of God, understanding and worshiping thee in spirit and in truth. We just feel you tonight, Lord, and love you with all our hearts, and pray that one of these days, very, very soon, much more soon than we think, my God, that you will burst those heavens asunder, bring your people unto yourself, Lord. We can be like you, not caught, not weighed down here with these old human bodies, these old frames, oh God, but truly alive. This dust glorified, Lord, brought into your presence. Help us tonight, Jesus, while we down here in this old world is so surfeited and glutted with the things of the enemy, we'll be able to rise above it as that old heart rose above the water, higher and higher into your presence. We ask it tonight, Lord, believing and knowing in our hearts that you've already heard us, and therefore we have the answer. Anoint every word tonight, O God, in every way it ought to be, both in the heart, in the lip, in the ear, and then down into the heart again. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for your glory. Amen. Now we want to look at the Word of God again, remembering that 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, is the rapture. Now, 1 Corinthians 15 is not the rapture. Actually, it is the resurrection. Not even the resurrection, it's the out-resurrection. It deals with the change in the members, our earthly members. But it's 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16, that is the rapture. And we found under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost in the prophet exactly what the mystery of the second coming of Jesus Christ is. It is a three-phased coming wherein it is culminated in all the dead in Christ and those living in Christ are caught up to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now it says here, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. But what the translators did not translate was that it is not said that the shout is the actual voice of the Lord. So it should read more perfectly, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the voice of another. Now that's exactly what it is, because it is not his voice. The question then arises, how in the world? How is it possible that the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout? Now, in the first place, the shout is not a loud noise, but it actually is a word of many meanings, all of which bring us to what the prophet told us was the message for the last day. It was going to be a word of command. It was going to be the cry of incitement. Now, there is no such thing as a cry of incitement that is in one word. It is many words, but it is called a word because it has a particular direction and a particular central thought. It is the shout which summons. It is that which gives the people the time, the rowers, the timing, that they may all might be pulling together. and so on. Now, the question arose, how could this be the Lord himself descending from heaven with a shout? Well, we showed you according to the book of Exodus, the third chapter, and I believe about the eighth verse, wherein God said, "Behold, I am come down to lead out the children of Israel out of Egypt." And then he said to Moses, "You are going down, I'm going with you." And again, the scripture says that the Lord was going to go down and see if the cry of Sodom was altogether what it was supposed to be. And two angels went down. So it is absolutely scriptural that the Lord himself can descend from heaven, and it is him, by way of him commissioning someone to do this, who will stand in his stead. Now, we know that there has to be a man in the last day who will stand in the stead of the Lord and be this voice of incitement and doing all the things which we studied this morning. Now, who is it going to be? We found out in the book of Revelation, the 10th chapter, it would be a mighty messenger to the seventh church age. And the reason we knew this was true was because we found that when John was in the Spirit, he heard behind him a great voice as of a trumpet, and he turned to see the voice. And the voice was in the midst of the seven candlesticks, and the voice came to the seven church messengers, and then that voice of God being conveyed by him was the message in that particular church age. Now, I'm sorry I can't take more time to go into this, but perhaps if you like, you can get the tape of this morning and get it in detail. Now, it says here that in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound. Now, this is the sound like as of a trumpet. Now, John back here said, "I heard the voice behind me as of a trumpet." Now, it was the voice was the Lord Jesus Christ. So, in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound, when he shall bring forth the message on his trumpet, what is it? It's the gospel trumpet, is what it is. And it is the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ at this particular time, in this particular age. But he is speaking by means of a prophet. And it says the mystery of God should be finished as God has announced the good news, or as God has gospelized, or as God has given the gospel according to his bringing the word by his servants the prophets. Now, in this last day, there is going to have to rise up a messenger in the Laodicean church age. And that messenger is going to, in his days, D-A-Y-S, which is a period of time, bring the actual voice of the Lord to this day, and it will reveal the mysteries of the gospel. It's going to be, in other words, a finish to the gospel program of the Lord Jesus Christ as all things come into perspective and the understanding of the people. Now, it's at this time that John said, "I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven." Now listen, this angel came from heaven. And he has a cloud, a rainbow, the face like the sun, pillars of fire for his feet. He's got a little book open his hand. He's got a voice like a lion. The thunder comes, and he swears by God. And he swears by God, which is himself, that time should be no longer delayed. The time will run out. See? What time run out? The time of the gospel. It's all over. The seven church ages. It's time for the rapture. Now, this mighty angel, we know is the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? He's got a rainbow. Only God has the rainbow. It's the messenger of the covenant. And this time, the rainbow signifies that soon destruction will come upon the earth. Why? Because it signifies God is about to smite the earth again. Now, get what I said. God is about to smite the earth. And he said, "I'll never smite the earth again or curse it except by fire." See, it can't come by water. It's the covenant God showing himself at the end time just before he smites the earth with fire. For remember, he comes with flaming fire taking, bringing destruction upon those who destroy the earth. Now, this mighty one, as scripture says, that he's close to the cloud. Where's the cloud and where's the rainbow and where's the sun? It's all in the heavens. It's way up there. Where's his feet? The pillar of fire?
And the purifier of God, the Logos, according to this, will appear in the feet period, which is the feet period of the image of the times of the Gentiles, which is the Nebuchadnezzar's head that carried away Israel captive until the day when the stone made of that hand rolls down the mountain, see, and strikes the feet. So the pillar of fire appears in the feet age of the kingdom, and he stands upon the earth. Now, people may not believe me, but that thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
I don't care what anybody says.
Amen.
That's exactly thus saith the Lord. You say, how do you know? The prophet of God told me. Exactly what's in 20th century prophet is absolutely thus saith the Lord. You can't change it. Because that's what the prophet taught. And I know he taught it because he read the script. And that all changes were made by him. The same as in the church ages. Now, notice here, why is it that he is called standing upon the earth with this phenomena in the heaven? Because it is a transition period. He is no longer the sacrificial lamb. He is no longer the one upon the mercy seat. He has taken the book of redemption and he has opened it in view of the people by means of the prophet revealing the word, so that by the word they saw themselves in the book of life, in the Lamb's book of life, because they believed the message, which is the evidence of having the Holy Ghost. That's right. Now, notice, he has not come back to this earth to sit upon the throne of David. His next step, wherein he is made visible, is revealing himself to the bride in the upper air where she's caught to meet him. So therefore, he not able to come back to this earth, or not even able to be continuing the capacity wherein he was fulfilling the intercessory kinsman relationship, he is now pictured as functioning in heaven and in earth. See? He's in it like a transitional dual period. That's why he is in this particular area here. But he is revealing at this time the seven thunders. And the prophet of the seven verse receiving the seven thunders is bringing the complete mystery of God through the seals, showing exactly what the gospel is all about. So the whole revelation now comes out of this period. Now, when this revelation comes to the period, to the people at this period, remember, at midnight, the same time the prophet is here, the midnight cry of Matthew 25 is not a cry, behold the bridegroom, but it's a clamor. See, be not behold the bridegroom cometh. That's not in the Greek, not in the Aramaic. It is behold the bridegroom. And there never was a more mixed up time in all this world as when people are trying to tell you what the word is, which is the bridegroom. See? Remember, he descended, brother, sister. He descended. He said, I am that word. John says, and the word was, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. He said, the only begotten Son is in the bosom, hath exegeted him, hath declared him. And then he said, I am that bread which came down from heaven. And he said, if any man eat thereof, he shall never perish. Man should not live by bread alone, but every word that it comes from the mouth of God. And again, the scripture tells us that God appeared unto Samuel, and he revealed himself to Samuel by the word of the Lord, and God revealed himself by this word. And so therefore, a complete Holy Ghost revelation of this word is God revealed. And the people haven't got the Holy Ghost, but the Catholic Church says, we're revealing God. The Protestants say, we're revealing God. The Independents say, we're revealing God. But a prophet comes on the scene who, by the word of God, taking all the mysteries of God, taking all the gospel of God, holds back the curtain, reveals Christ, says, there's your bridegroom. And they say, hogwash, who wants him? You get it? The word is God. And the word revealed is God revealed. And Jesus Christ is God. And this God walks outside the church. When the prophet message comes on the scene because of the last age, and he said, now come out, because it's not go forth. For tell a man to go forth out of his building presupposes that you go out together. He's in the building. But there never was a time when God was in organization. And he says, come on out of my people.
Amen.
If you want to consort with Jesus Christ, you come out. See? Now, this is what's going on at this age here, at this time. See, it's at the end of the age of the times of the Gentiles. It's all over. And remember, the times of the Gentiles runs out when Jerusalem is no longer trodden down the Gentiles. Brother, sister, this is a transition period because both the times of the Gentiles and the fullness of the Gentiles has expired. That's got to be thus said the Lord. You can't have it any other way. I'm talking about the bride. There will be people saved. They'll come up with a second resurrection. But there has got to come a time when the Lamb's book of life of redemption is open and not one more can come in because they're already all in. See? Now remember, at this time all the mysteries of God are going to be revealed. Every single one. And when this man does it, he is going to do it according to the Scripture. Now, the question comes up. You say, Brother Dale, I understand that you believe this man is a prophet at the end time. This seventh age church prophet, this messenger. What makes you think he is a prophet just because it says here that the mystery of God should be finished? What mystery? That which is the gospel. It shall all be revealed. As God hath declared by his servant the prophet. You say, well, that's pretty good there. If this man is having a revelation, and that's what the prophets have, a revelation of the word, then that'll make him a prophet. Now, that's true. But that's not the whole picture. The picture that you want to see back here is in the book of Malachi. You know, it's hot in here tonight. If you open the window too, I'd feel better. Or some kind of cool would sure be good. I'm a northerner. You know? All right. Thanks. Now, listen, let's get in the book of Malachi. The book of Malachi says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet, that's chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. See? And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children of their fathers, lest I come and smite you with the curse. Now, there is something that most Bible students forget. You cannot discover the Word of God by chronology. There is no such thing in the Scripture as perfect chronology. The first and second coming of Christ is absolutely interwoven. He'll start with the first coming, and in the same breath, he'll take in the second coming. Now, if you want to understand that, just hold your hand what I read, and we go to Luke, the fourth chapter. Now, in Luke, the fourth chapter, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel of the poor, hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. Now, that's very well and good. But we go back to the book of Isaiah, and the 61st chapter, and notice it continues, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all the mourn. Jesus stopped preaching when he read to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Why? Because the day of vengeance is the second coming of Christ, and they're run right together. Now, you've got the same thing that took place here in the book of Malachi. The fourth chapter, Malachi 4, 5, and 6, is the word of God on the first and second appearing of Elijah the prophet. Elijah comes typed in spirit two times. And in here, you'll notice, it says, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of father children and the heart of children of fathers, that's that comes by the earth, the curse. Now, in the book of Luke, the first chapter, let's look at this. It says, concerning John, chapter 1, verse 16, and many of the children of Israel shall John turn to the Lord their God. See? He's going to turn them to God. Now, the point is this. Now look at the scripture the way it's read, and don't be casual. How in the world can a man come and do what you would swear has already done? Because if these are children of God, then they should already be turned to God. What shape were the children of God in the time of John? Now look at it. Never mind little kids talking. That's not going to do you a bit of good, but this is. I'm an old school teacher. If I come and rap you, you just got to take it. See? And many of the children of Israel, see? What many of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God? Now, if they're already children of God, which Israel is prince with God, why would this man have to come and do a job? It doesn't make sense. You say, well, if they're children, they're already turned. There's something got to be wrong with the people. Now, there's no denying who they are and what they are. But there's something wrong. In spite of the fact that they are children of God, they have turned away from God. They're in a miserable condition. Because the Bible says so. And it says, John shall go before God, the Lord God, which is Jesus Christ, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the father's children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Now he tells you what turning the hearts is and where the people have gone astray. It's because, brother, sister, they're in the original sin. Now I can prove it to you. Because it says disobedience. What is disobedience? The scripture says by one man's disobedience, all sin came into this world. So, there's a harvest of disobedience in Israel. And there isn't anybody that's not contaminated. That may sound strange, but I'll give you the truth for it. Just hang on, because that stuff said the Lord. Not because I say so, but I've got word to prove it. Israel is contaminated. They are contaminated by the harvest of the sin of disobedience, which is in the Greek to hear alongside. And when you hear alongside the word, it means you sidestep the word and go the way you want to go and let the word go on. That's exactly what Adam did. See? There's, and God is about to visit Israel, his people, because they have sidestepped the word. They have put the word out. They have turned in disobedience. And God had to send this man, John the Baptist, upon whom was the spirit of Elijah. Now watch it. The scripture here says that he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. Now never mind what that means. We know what it actually means. But just let it be for the time being without dissertation. Now go back again to Malachi, the fourth chapter, and read again. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of children their fathers, that they come and smite the earth with the curse. Now, watch this. Here is where there is a peculiar thing, God. Normally, in the scripture, you will find the first coming precedes the second coming. Then you will have them intermingled. So it's a mystery. Except you will notice, in the book of Jude, it says that Enoch prophesied concerning the second coming of Christ. Behold, he cometh with near to be saints, when there wasn't even a first coming. Now, this here prophesies concerning the second coming of Christ. See? Then it throws in a portion of a verse of Scripture concerning the first coming. We know it because we read right in there, brother, sister. Well, I'll prove a little more. Go to the book of Matthew 17. Well, we'll just leave Matthew 17 a second. Go to Matthew the 11th chapter. 11 and 14. And if you will receive it, see, this is Elias which was born to come. Who? Verse 2. Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent his two disciples and said, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said, go and show John again those things which you see and hear. Hear and see, the blind receive their sight, and so on. Then he says concerning John in verse 9, what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, more than prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way for thee. And he spoke this concerning John the Baptist. And he said that John the Baptist was Elijah, for that day had they received it. See? Now what does it mean, had they received it? Said, well, if they didn't receive it, then he wasn't Elijah. Oh, no, 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 no. No, sir. He that receives the prophet in the name of a prophet receives the prophet's reward, which is his friendship and his ministry. And they wouldn't receive him as Elijah, so they lost what God would have done, which was to turn your hearts back, exactly as Elijah said before, to the obedience of God by the word of God, and they wouldn't take it. Now let's go back, just hold your thumb in Malachi, and go to Isaiah, the 40th chapter. In the third verse, come the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. Notice the voice. How was he the voice? It was the voice of God by the prophet messenger full of the Holy Ghost. Just exactly like the voice of Christ in the church. Here was the voice of God back in the Old Testament church. See? The voice of him crying, prepare ye the way. Now, that's John the Baptist. But remember the phrase that I read to you in Luke concerning John the Baptist, which was given by the angel to Zacharias, the father of John. Because he said here that he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Now, since we have our premise here and showing you how that the first and second coming of Christ is intermingled, see, and so the coming of Elijah is also intermingled. He has a first and second coming, and that's intermingled. Just like the first and coming, second coming of Christ is intermingled. Now, we go back to Malachi 4:5 again, watch it. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, what's he talking about here? What's the major theme? The coming of Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Right? Now, watch what the angel did. The angel of God said that the next little thing, and he shall turn the hearts of the father children, belonged to the first Elijah, which was John. Now listen. Watch carefully. No man can take from the scripture and no man can add to it. Is that right? Then who can do it? God can do it. And how does God do it? He does it this way. That none of these things shall fail. See? Not one word of God shall pass away till all be fulfilled. Not a jot nor tittle. Now then, if the word of God has been fulfilled, what happens? It passes away. I know that people don't believe it, but that's what's wrong. They're always trying to apply to the day in which they live the message which foreran their age, and they never get caught up. The word of God passes away by fulfillment. You can't fulfill this phrase here, brother, sister, and he shall turn the heart of the father children. It's done. So what do? To help yourself, in your memory, blot it out. Don't read it again. Blot it out. If you can't do that, even take a pencil. God won't mind. Because you understand what you're doing. Now then, read it this way. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now that's the way you read it today. Why? Because it's fulfilled. You can't read Isaiah 60 now and talk about the ministry of Christ when he came in fresh to the truth. Impossible. It's fulfilled. You go on now to the next step. See? You can't take, as Brother Branham said, take Noah's message and preach it in Moses' day. It wouldn't work. Moses said, build an ark and we'll pour it down the Nile. You couldn't take the day of the message of Moses and preach it in Christ's day. And you can't take a Pentecostal message and preach it today. It can't be done. Why? Because that was the time of the planting 2,000 years ago. This is harvest time. You let a farmer go in his grain with a seeder, but it has a disc on it. Then you'll throw the seed, the tiller, that's what the word is, tiller in the tiller, yeah, I forgot what it was this morning. That old tiller in there, you put it into your harvest field, you destroy your whole field, and all your labor go up in vain. This is the sound of the combine. This is the end time message. This is harvest message. And God says this concerning that great day. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And notice, he shall turn the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, what was the condition in the days of John the Baptist? The bride of Christ was polluted. Right. What is the condition of the bride today? She's polluted. You can talk all you want about a pure bride. When Brother Branham, you the prophet of God, and you say you believe in him. All right, what was his vision of the American church? A stiff, cheese, rock and roll, rotten prostitute. Let's find out what God says about the last day church. See, now you're talking about the church, I'm right about the, and the bride is in the church. And the bride is in the church. You say, how do you prove it, Brother Dale? Remember his vision in the Trinitarian Club? The little woman, he said, she was my mother, but she wasn't my mother. And the man was my father, but he wasn't my father. And God said, you were born in this mess. Now, if you're born in a mess, you're part of the mess. I never saw a child yet born in a mess who didn't have the blood and the afterbirth and everything else upon it, him or her. Right? That's the mess. Now listen to what the Laodicean church is like. And boy, is she the biggest mouth of the ages. She yap, 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 yap. That's why you've got anointed mouths, right? The preachers have anointed mouths, but they don't have anointed minds, and they don't have anointed hearts. They got anointed minds. I mean, mouth. And boy, can they talk up a storm. But you can tell if they got the word or not. Remember years ago when Pentecost first came on the scene, you buried birds in Pentecost? I was there 35 years ago myself. And when the preachers, they not only talk fast as a word, that's all they got today is fast talking. But years back, they had an anointing upon them. It was real. But you can walk any old Methodist or Baptist church, and you might feel more of God than a fast talking, fast buck preaching Pentecost. Huh? Notice what he said about the end time. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. And he said, I would you were cold or hot. Now, a cold or hot church is not cold or hot as a lukewarm church. And notice, it's not doing great big sins. And it's, in other words, a real cold. And it's not on fire for God. He's in a mess. And the Lord says, here, you just make me vomit. I'm so sick. Ready to spew you out. People say that Brother Bill, that means you're not eternally secure. You find me one scripture where the Bible says the bride's in the mouth of Christ. You find me one place where the sheep is in the mouth of God. The sheep are carried in his bosom, and they are in his hand, but they're not in his mouth. All right, what age are we in? We're in the age, brother, sister, the feet age. And there's an image being erected in this last age of the feet. Isn't that right? All right, who gives the mouth to the beast? The church does. The church talking. And God says, you say. But I say, everything you say is a lie. I said, they're crying, there's a clamor going up at midnight. Behold the bridegroom. We're right. We've got the word. And God says, you're all a bunch of liars. You haven't got it. You're lukewarm. You make me sick. He said, you're no longer my mouthpiece. That's right. The word of God has left the church. They're just guessing at things. Thou sayest, I'm rich and increased in good and have need of nothing. And no, it's not. Listen, notice it. They positively are denuded of Holy Ghost understanding. They don't even know that they're naked, they're miserable, they're poor, and they're wretched, and they're blind. Now, this is the whole church. This is the whole church. He thought you'd be in the Don't you tell me it's not. I got news for you. If you caught it this morning, I showed you that the voice of God was in the messenger. And it said, unto the messenger, which is in the church of Ephesus, and unto the messenger, which is in the church of Laodicea, and America, and Laodicea means people's rights. This is the only nation where a people started out to establish democracy. This is America. This is Laodicea. This is the seven-day messenger, you know. And we built the image of the beast. We gave her all our gold, too, didn't we? You watched the gold. Don't worry about that paper. It'll fall down flat as a fiddle and up in smoke. You can't fool with the Word of God. He said, I counsel thee to buy me gold in the fire. Now, I didn't finish my point. Listen. To the messenger, every single age he brought a voice, which was the voice of God, which was the Word of God. And it always concludes by saying, he that hath an ear, let him hear, and only those with the Holy Ghost, which is the bride, can hear. So the message today is, even the bride, you're lukewarm, you're messy, you're filthy, and you don't even know it. And we didn't know it till the prophet came. Admit it. Come on. Remember the time that Achan had his filthy old sin? He hit the Babylonian garment, registered with the rage of gold, remember? What did Joshua say? My son, confess your sin to God. Give him the glory. It may mean your life, but say it anyway. All right. This age the prophet came and said, he's under how many women? Well, listen, I know a lot of dear Pentecostal saints had long hair. A lot of them had long hair and didn't have the right. That was my pet peeve. They had slacks, they had shorts, everything else going on, didn't they? Let's be honest. We looked at it. We winked at it. We said it's okay. Look at the way the men live. We winked at it. We said it was okay. The church is filthy in the last days, just as it was in the days of Jesus Christ when John the Baptist came. It's all messed up. He hasn't got a separate message here. He needs intelligence. Now, notice, the people in the last days say they got the Holy Ghost. They don't have the clothing, which is the white raiment, which is the righteousness of God. They're naked and they don't even know it. Men and women going down the street don't even know they're naked. That's right. Now, also, it says here, and this is a poor translation. That's one thing about the King James Version. You've got to really watch it. When it says, anoint thine eyes with thy Sabbath, it sounds exactly like you've already got the anointing, just didn't apply it. But it doesn't say that. It says, I counsel thee to come to me. Notice, if you're going to come to him outside the church now, you're going to have to get out. Where the word is, I counsel thee, this is my word, said God, to buy of me gold tried in the fire, and white raiment, and what I said. They haven't got the Holy Ghost, but they say they have. I'm going to speak on perverted ones, perversion of the ages, maybe next Sunday morning, and I'll fill this in for you. Exactly what I'm talking about, end time anointed ones. Rid of it. Now it says here that they haven't got the eye salve. But they think they have. And he said, come to me to get it. See? What is the condition of bride in this age? The condition of this age bride is that she is a filthy mess. Now you tell me that you're not a filthy mess. The minute that you're outside that word, you're a filthy mess. Because there's only one way you can serve God. That's the Spirit and the truth. The Pentecostal for years have taught, long as you got the Spirit, forget the truth. You don't need to have a preacher preach the Word. Just have everybody do a hold down and dance and cut a rug and feel good. That's God. No, that's not God. You don't have Spirit apart from Word and get away with it. They that worship Him must worship in Spirit and in truth. It is not dead Word like the Baptist Presbyterians memorize it. And it's not wildfire Pentecostal. It is the Word of God itself, alive by the Holy Ghost in the people, that makes that man acceptable. For that woman, you know it's true. That's why you people were like me all these years, completely bamboozled concerning Pentecost. You knew it was wrong, but you didn't know where it was wrong. You thank God for having the Holy Ghost and wonder why you got it. And you wondered if the Holy Ghost said things to you, why I didn't talk to somebody else. And if you were confused about things and constrained to live a better life, how come the rest weren't doing it? Full gospel businessmen, crooked as a dog's hind leg. And they get up on the platform and pat each other on the back about this guy in Denver who took $100,000 in cold cash to a rotten deal through from a friend of mine. The same crooked bunch that built Dan Bush for $23,000 about. That's on tape, they can say if they want, sue me. It's not slander when you tell the truth. If you think, bless God, you can't name names, I'm going to tell you some. Paul named names. He said, Alexander Carlson didn't do me much harm. And John said, Diotrephes loved the preeminence. I'm not vindictive. Some of you people got a funny idea what it's all about. Just sit back and say, God's a good, sweet God, hell, do you? Everything's okay. It's not okay. I'm going to get you the clincher. You want it? Let's read it. Behold, I will send you lies to the prophet. Before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. What is the great and dreadful day of the Lord? It's the great tribulation. certainly. Certainly it is. Culminated when he appears with the flaming sword of fire destroying those who destroyed the earth, according to 2 Thessalonians, first chapter. Right? You know it's the truth. Now listen. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before that great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse, lest I come and blast the bride and everybody off the face of the map, because that's what it says. He said, if Elijah the prophet does not come, I will smite. You can talk all you want about a rapture. You can talk all you want about a good God. That's fine. You can talk about, hallelujah, I'm under the blood, I'm going to heaven. Go ahead, sing it, dance it, preach it, pray it. I don't care. The Bible says here that except Elijah the prophet come and set the church in order, God would smite the bride, lock, stock, and barrel because of her filth with the rest of the world.
Amen.
Huh? Well, come on, is it amen or isn't it?
Amen.
I want to know, is this the word of God?
Yes.
I'll tell you why. Why was Elijah come? People talk about the second coming of Christ. They talk about the rapture, but they don't know one thing that heralds the second coming of Jesus Christ. They don't even look for Elijah, and they don't know why he's going to come. The church was a mess when John the Baptist came on the scene. Yes, it was. They're disobedient. What is disobedient? It's a flagrant disregard for the word. The man whose name is Mouth in America. Right. Said to Brother Branham, you're spoiling your ministry by teaching the word of God. And here Brother Branham said, anybody's ministry who can be spoiled by preaching the word of God had better have it spoiled.
Amen.
Huh? No, I'm not vindictive. I'm just a loud talker. I'm a fast preacher and a hard preacher. And I don't care if we got what's going on, but I care an awful lot for the bride. And I care enough to want to get in this scripture and show you what's going on. And brother, sister, it says here in the last day, the bride of Christ would be messed up in the church of the world. And she would be in such a mess as God looked down in this last age of disobedience. But he said, except he send his prophet to do an intervention work, or a work of intervention, to turn their heart back. He said he'd smite the earth with a curse, and they'd be smitten too. That's proved by scripture here. The bride does not see the great tribulation. She goes up, brother, sister, before the earth gets hit. And the earth gets hit in the fifth and the sixth seals, and especially the sixth, prior to the coming of the Lord God, of both the Lord Jesus Christ, that the bride's gone. If you've ever doubted and wondered whether the bride goes up before the tribulation, there's your answer, brother, sister. And you better thank God there is a rapture, or you'd be smitten with the curse. Now remember, I said in Matthew 25, the last days virgins, they do have the curse because they don't have the oil, which is the Holy Ghost, which is the mind of God, which is the revealed word for the age. Because they're in that condition, the scripture distinctly says the door is closed and they give their life. If you're wondering whether you ought to be in a message or not, brother, sister, get this straight. There has to come a prophet. But my Bible says the times of the Gentiles run out when Jerusalem is no longer trodden down. Jerusalem is no longer trodden down, brother, sister. At this particular time, it's run out. And the scripture says Elijah's got to be here. He's already come and gone like John the Baptist. The people are undecided tonight. You may have crossed your deadline in your unbelief. It's time to understand this word of God. I'm not preaching a prophet, I'm preaching the word of God, brother, sister. It says Elijah the prophet must come, and it was in John the Baptist. All right. I wanted that verse now in the book of Matthew, the 17th chapter. I know people think they can get away. Oh, I preach the word, brother Bale. Oh, I'm in the gospel. Are you? What about the days of the Jews? Huh? Come on back about Thursday night or Wednesday night. That'll be a good night to come back Wednesday night. Of course, come back Tuesday and hear the rest of this message. But come on back Wednesday night and let's find out. Let's find out from the Word of God whether this is the Word of God or not. Matthew the 17th chapter. Now, I'm not preaching this way as though you don't believe. I'm preaching hard and tough because I want to settle your minds once and for all. Why must Elijah come? Huh? Why does he come to the Gentiles, not the Jews? All right, what does it say in John 17:11? Verse 10, and the disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come? Now notice it. This is true. Elijah must first come. I love this question. Because Jesus explains not just his coming, but explains why he comes. And he said, Elijah truly shall come first and restore all things. Now I got something to tell you. I'm not boasting about my big books at home. I just want to let you know again. I said this morning I got volumes of the Greek that other great brilliant scholars written this thick, and they cost $22.50 a volume, anywhere from $17.50 to $22.50 a volume. I looked up the word restoration, and the crowned heads of the Greek scholars say, under no condition whatsoever can you use the word restoration to mean an ingathering of souls. Restoration means to bring back to originality. Now I'm going to tell you one thing, brother, sister. The church of God is based upon one originality, which is the revealed word of God and nothing else. Oh, I'm as your brother, Bayless Christ. Don't give me that nonsense. The Catholics have a Christ. The Protestants have a Christ. The scripture distinctly said, he that believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You ask anybody who believes in a virgin birth. You ask any Roman Catholic, he'll say, I believe Jesus is the Christ. And brother, sister, he is not born of God because there's no revelation. What is it? It's the word revealed that gives the revelation that brings God into man's life. Hallelujah. The rest is none of it, I don't. You want to know the truth? Henceforth, knowing no man after flesh. Yea, though we have known after flesh, now henceforth we know him no more. But that's the Spirit of God. Oh, the Spirit is that right? What do you know about the Spirit except by the Word of God? The Spirit and the Word become one in the bride, brother and sister. And it said here that Elijah must come and restore. What did John do? He turned the hearts of the children under what ground? Back from their disobedience. And there's only one kind of disobedience, and that, my brother, my sister, is living up, turning away from the Word of God. How true it is. Years ago, in many years of my life, this ministry, I laid hands on thousands and thousands of people. And I've seen thousands and thousands of miracles for the glory of God. And invariably, every place I used to go laying hands upon women, there'd be woman after woman under my hand, who I'd say, sister, God called you to the ministry several years ago, you disobeyed. I didn't know any better. What was I doing? Catching her spirit. I wasn't discerning the Spirit of God. There's a spirit in man. And my spirit discerned her spirit. And her trouble said, I have failed God. I've been disobedient. I didn't preach. The woman had obeyed God by staying home, and yet she's condemned. Call that the Holy Ghost. Huh? What was it? People say, I'm disobedient. How do you know you're disobedient? Except by the Word of God. There is only one kind of disobedience, and that is to turn from the Word and or change that Word. Even changing it one word. Eve listened to the devil. She got food. And women said, I can go preaching. You know, they thought the qualification was because they had a fast tongue faster than men and have got smart, fast brains. Sure they are. Just smart as men any old day of the week. Except they're not quite so clever inside because they get food. Their cleverness fools them. Women got an idea. They're really spiritual. I want to tell you something, brother, sister. The scripture said Adam wasn't food. And I'll prove it when I preach on perversion. You want me to prove it? You come on out. Not I'm trying to advertise you're going to come and hear me. I don't care if you do or not. I'll preach anyway. Jack will be here. He wants to hear the sermon on perversion. I'll show you Adam was not fooled in the very thing Eve was fooled in. Now, if you want to bend on it, I'll tell you. I got scripture for it. No, I'm not guessing now. There's nothing I heard. It's right in the Bible. The Bible distinctly said woman can't preach. Why? Because there is something in her life where she gets fooled. It says man is not in that category. You may not believe it, but it's true. That's exactly why a man preaches and a woman can. A woman said, well, I use the Word of God. What else can you rule by? Jesus said, feed my sheep. The Douay version said, rule, rule, rule. But the Bible says, feed, rule, feed. You rule by feeding, which is the Word of God. She can't handle it. She's perverted. And the man who doesn't handle it, he's perverted. That's the woman handle it, he's perverted. Let her do it. Exactly true. The church is in a perverted condition. We didn't know the truth. We were sold in disobedience. And brother, sister, when you go contrary to the Word of God and are disobedient to it, thinking that you're serving God, where does that leave it? Oh, brother, sister, that's delusion. We have believed the lie. That same belief of the lie is what condemns the minions. They think they're full of the Holy Ghost. They believe they're full of the Holy Ghost. They believe they're all right. they've been justified, sanctified, and they're going to go to hell, brother, sisters, like the scripture said. Many will come in that day and they'll say, I've cast out devils, I've done wonderful works, I never knew you, depart from me. They're going to be virgins come at that last moment. A virgin is a wonderful girl, she's sweet, she's kind. A fine moral person, but she'll stand on judgment day, whether she's going to make it or not. But the bride does not come into judgment because she's already passed from death on the last. But the bride's a mess in the last day, brother, sister. The bride's a mess. You don't think she's a mess? How would you have felt that dime out there? I think it was Covina. West was Covina in California. I was anybody there except me in that meeting? It doesn't matter. I could have wept for the women out there. Brother Bannon got up and he said, every year I come out here and I teach you women not to cut your hair and to wash your dresses and do so-and-so. And he said, every year I find more and more to do. Big joke. And I got so sick, I said, my God, what's the matter with people? They're disobedient to the word and they glory in it, brother, sister. You tell me then the church isn't messed up and the bride is right in it, right in the same filthy mess. She has been contaminated by the same miserable thing. And we could not know the revealed will of God without the prophet. I don't care what you say, Brother Bill, I've got the Holy Ghost. I don't need man to teach me. That's right, you don't need a man. You need the Holy Ghost to prove you haven't got him by your rebellion against Scripture. Huh? Oh, come on now. Thank you. Let's prove the point, Beth John. Just in case somebody here is doubting Thomas, we're going to cure you. No disrespect for anybody named Thomas. Listen to it, brother, sister, in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts. It says here, but Saul and Dilma, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, except the prophet. Heaven's my throne, earth my footstool. What house will you build me, except the Lord? What's the place of my rest? Hath not my hands made all these things? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, which your fathers did so to you. And if you turn down the prophet, brother, sister, you can talk all the Holy Ghost you want. It's proved you haven't received it, but you resist it. Huh? Certainly it's the truth. I read you the Word of God. I'm not here up here preaching my own thoughts, brother, sister. I've got time for my thing. It's bring every thought into captivity to Jesus Christ. I want to tell them, I have the very same thoughts people in the world today have. Oh, I said, woman preacher's all right, short hair is all right, because I've seen gals with long hair lick the jam off thrown up. That wild look in their eye, and those sanctimonious that they think they look like God, but they act more like the devil. I've been all through that. Sure. I've been all through that series. Well, what do you care? It's got to be God. We got the Holy Ghost, haven't we? Sure, I've been all through that too. Huh? Sure. But I want to tell you, there came a day, brother, sister, when it made a difference. And the day came when I opened my ears. Because I looked at that prophet and I said, hold it now. Would this great man of God, knowing what he is, and I know what he is, would he deal with little finicky, funny things that don't mean anything? Am I now in the class where the Pentecostal people came and said, Brother Branham, don't speak up the way you do, but teach our women, never mind their dress and all those things, that's nothing. Teach them children, teach them how to have gifts. What for? To be condemned in hell? To say you were in degree? No, the bride was a mess, brother, sister. Admit it. Her garments were filthy. Her disobedience was in the world. And she didn't behold the bridegroom. She thought she beheld him. But she didn't. So I'm going to tell you one thing. When the prophet took that old curtain back, and he revealed serpents, he mine. That made a lot of them go. That they went right then. They saw a great big four-footed beast with hair on it, and his lusting toward him. That's not what the Bible says. Looked just like a man. But you'll never convince the women, the men who believe this other chunk. Today is still the same thought. Serpent beat a great, big, terrible, hairy monster coming toward them. Listen, that was in the Roman arena when they tied the women down and baboons raped them. Yeah. Oh, I know. I've read my histories. But I want to tell you, it's this back in the garden. He looked just like a man. But he wasn't. And Eve was fooled. He preached on women preachers. That did the second trick. But the serpent seed didn't scatter women preachers, did it? Because, oh, Brother Branham, you know they're sweet, lovely, kind. They've been generous. They've been wonderful. You can't put your finger on them. What marvelous girls. Surely with their anointing and all this, they can preach. No, they can't. No. I'll tell you something. Do you think there were people who were less smart than Aaron? I want to tell you there were people smarter than Aaron, but he alone was ordained of God to be a high priest. You tell me for 1 minute there weren't men superior to David. I tell you, yes, there were men superior to David, but he was the anointed king priest of Israel. Prophet of God. You say there weren't men smarter than old Micaiah? Huh? There weren't men smarter than Elisha? I got news for you. Simple, humble old Palmer didn't know left hand or right hand. You think there weren't men smarter than Peter? I say there are multitudes smarter than Peter. But who did God take? Where does that lead? Huh? The anointing of God. You're good people. You're getting it. I don't mean a lashing. I know when the Word of God's going over. I just start shouting right now and let you go home. We've already had a good time. Let's go further. The prophet of God, my brother, my sister, comes in this end time. And he comes in such a time when the whole church and the bride herself is polluted. Now, let me ask you a question. When John the Baptist came on the scene, what did he do? He aroused the people's curiosity by his particular ministry. And they came running. They said, "Who are you? Are you Elijah? Are you that prophet? Are you that Messiah? Is it Jeremiah? Are you Isaiah? Who are you?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying." He indicated who he was. But listen to me. Jesus Christ alone could finally authenticate him when he appeared on the scene. "Who are you, John?" "I'm the voice of one crying. I am the forerunner. I am Elijah, actually, but only in spirit. I'm not the real Elijah." Now Jesus came, and poor John is confused. He has trouble. And he sent to Jesus, and he said, "Are you really the one? Am I really the one?" And Jesus said, "Listen, this one here is the one of Scripture. And the Christ, who proved that he was the Christ, by the signs and the wonders and the miracles which he did in gaining the people's attention, authenticated John." But remember, brother, sister, Jesus Christ will not follow the second Elijah ministry and authenticate him. It's not possible. Because it's the rapture. And he doesn't come back to earth to authenticate. So what is it? The prophet in this age must be authenticated before he even lets the people know who he is. Now, have we got any Bible for it? Well, Luke the 17th chapter. Luke 17:20-37 is absolutely the outcome of a question asked concerning the kingdom of God, which is Christ coming back to reign and rule upon earth. Verse 20 beginning. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, notice it, you don't demand anything from God. What's the Pentecostal fear today? They command God, they demand God. If you were to really boil it down, you'd say, "What is God to you?" They say, "God is the Spirit." Right now, that's fine. God's the Spirit. You say, "God's the Holy Ghost?" "Yes, sir." "You've been anointed?" "Yes, sir." "What can you do since you're anointed?" "Well, I got power." That's the whole thing. I've got power. Oh, they take that verse and they rag it. And the first thing you find out, the Pentecostal tradition is, we've got God like live steam in a boiler. We pull the whistle. We pull the wheel. Boom, boom, the wheel goes. And your definition of God is not the sovereign Lord of creation who rules in heaven and in the armies of the earth, but he's a power that you control in a special dispensation. Alive from the pit of hell. Yeah. They demand it. So the preachers, when they saw Brother Branham, they demand it. They locked themselves in prayer closets and they shut the door and they said, "God, give me." Now, didn't they? Oh, come on, I read their books. Never write a thing in a book if you don't want me to blab about it. Still love me? I hope you do. All right, listen. It says right here, concerning the gift of the Holy Ghost, "But all these worketh that one and self same Spirit, dividing," that means giving, separating, "to every man severally as individually as he will." The Scripture says right here, you don't have a thing to do going to God and asking for gifts. God gives what he wants to give you. a sovereign God. But the Pharisees came to all spirit. Brother, sister, don't you see it that this age ends exactly as the last age ended? I'll tell it for you Wednesday, show you the exact parallel. And he was demanding the Pharisees. So what Pharisees? That's your World Council of Churches. Without a doubt, your brains, your PhD, your LLDs and all that. He demanded when the kingdom of God should come. And he answered them, the kingdom of God will come and you won't see it. It doesn't come with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is amongst you. Not within you, it's amongst you. I hope the Lord will help me remember this verse, but bring it out in perversion. Because I want you to see something here. One of our most precious texts that we have used for years and years and years crumbles in the ground. And we've used it wrong. After you use it wrong, you remember how it is when they score the music and they say, play with understanding, sing with understanding? Huh? That's in the Bible, in the Psalms too, with understanding. How often do we read the word with understanding? It takes the Holy Ghost. Or you can take the scripture and absolutely not know, but you're driving yourself to your doom. Surely. And he said to his disciples, notice now, he wouldn't tip his hand to the Pharisees. He wouldn't do it. So he now talks to his disciples concerning this momentous period, which is coming, which we know, brother and sister, according to the New and the Old Testament, is preceded by the day of the wrath of God. See? And he said, the days will come, plurality, a period of time, a series of days, hours and hours and hours, when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. Now what's he talking about? He's talking about the end time. He's not talking about the beginning time. People get confused here. They think the disciples were longing to see one of his days. Show me one place in Scripture where any disciple wanted to see one of his days repeat. I'll explain. If you look in the Greek here, which I'm not a Greek student, but my friend Dave Momlis is. He's a born a Greek, and he studied classical Greek for many, many hours each day of his life for a long time in Greece. So I said, Dave, I want to ask you a question. What does it mean when it says here that the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man? Well, he said it's like this week. Supposing you and I wish I'd have brought my notes. Had it all written out in longhand if he brought it to me. And he said it this way. Supposing you and I used to go on picnics, and we enjoyed those picnics, and years later we said, oh, I wish we had one of those days again. Now he said, you're not longing for the days, you're longing for the experiences that came out of the days. That's what the Greeks said. So the Bible says here, the days will come, days, D-A-Y-S, when you shall desire to see one of those periods of time of the experiences of God on earth. When the Son of Man was here. And it says, you won't see it. And then notice they shall say to you, see here or see there, going after. For as the lightning that lighteth out of one part of heaven, shineth to the other part of heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. Now watch it. It says this is how he will be in his day when he comes like lightning. Now brothers and sisters, you've got to watch Scripture. And as Christ said, you've got to be as wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. You've got to watch every minute or Satan will upset you. And let me show you something. In the 24th of Matthew and also in Luke, it tells you of two tribulations. And it says concerning the days of one and the days of the other. But people run them together. There are two separate tribulations. One was back in 70 A.D. and the other's yet coming. That was the time when those who gave up would be in a bad position. Those who fled on the Sabbath. But that's not this tribulation. So there is a picture of the rapture and the literal coming of Christ to this earth. And when he comes to the earth, it's like lightning with flaming fire. But this other is the revelation, which is Christ revealed by the word. We'll talk about it. But watch this now. He says, listen, it's at this time that the people on earth will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man and won't see it. Then it says, you're going to look for what? Christ coming with a blazing light out of heaven like lightning. Then he says, now watch it. But first he must suffer many things to be rejected. Then what? Well, after he suffers and rejection, and there he's going to rise up there. We got to wait for him. Now watch it. Verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah. Who's Noah? A man. Right? What day? A period of time. What does he mean, as it was in the days of Noah? The very experiences of the days of Noah would return, but not Noah. Is that right? Well, sure, it's right. So shall it also be in the days, D-A-Y-S, of the Son of Man. It says right here that the days of the Son of Man would repeat on earth, then they stop, and people will start to look for them again, but they're not coming. Take your Bibles, I challenge you, prove me wrong. We're going to upset some people here tonight. I can't help it, get your Bible. I'll even let the Word of God go to one side and forget church order. I challenge any woman or any man to take the Bible and stand behind me right here. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. It says those days would repeat on earth, then they would go. And the next thing you'll see is not those days again, but the fasting right out of heaven. That's how I'll be seeing the next time. You see his experiences redeeming your brother, sister. It says that Noah, a man, has days or experiences which come back to this earth. And it says in the days of the Son of Man, it means another man will come on this earth with the same experiences of Christ. They're producing in miracles, signs, and wonders, redeemed by the Word. And when that man goes, it says, you want to see those days, you're not going to see them. Get your mouth. Not here to fight your father. Ask me the question again Thursday, it's okay by me. But get your Bible, prove me wrong. I had a vision. Somebody had a vision. I don't care. Let's get the Word. Now we're going to weed out the teeth. You still with the Word? Say, Brother Dale, I maybe don't understand, but I believe that, because that's what the Word says. Come on now, it didn't happen. The disciples never went one time to look for his days. When Christ was killed upon the cross, they said, we thought he was the Messiah. We thought he was that Son of Man, like he said. But I guess we were wrong. Trippity-trippity-trip, off he went. Even when he appeared to them afterwards, they still went fishing in Galilee. Not looking, they got disappointed once more. Listen, after the resurrection of Christ, when he appeared, and witness was born that he was the Christ, they still wandered off, not looking for his day, not seeking him out. They said, let's go fishing. It's all over. I think I'll have a heart attack if I don't. Oh, come on, I said give you my challenge. Get your Bible to prove me wrong. I'm not trying to cause dissension. No, it's not about this. But I'm here preaching tonight, brothers and sisters. I'm the pulpit, I got charged by the Word of God. But I'm issuing this challenge. I'm sticking my neck up before God. God could injure me or do me damage in my life because I stick my neck up. He won't a man stand beside me right now. Prove me wrong. Tell me those days are going to come back. It says you're going to desire to see, but you won't see it. He's warned them. As it was in the days of Noah. Now listen to me. There are too many students who read this scripture and have a good time reading it. Oh, good time. They can tell you all the things wrong with Noah's day. They can read them like a catalog. They've got them chronicled. They've got them indexed. They have a great time. Sure they do. But they forget something here. They forget that as it was in the days of Noah, though it's going to be a period of time or the same length where God is going to reveal the Son of Man, which is what? The prophet. And if the prophet, Son of Man, will be revealed, then it must be by the ministry of a man, because Noah is a man. They ate, they drank, and so on. As it was in the days of Lot. Now notice it. There are two distinct things mentioned here. See? Concerning the days of the Son of Man. One is a prolonged period of time wherein the Son of Man is revealed, which we'll show you down here in verse 30. But the Son of Man's experiences on earth, the great miracle ministry of Christ, the great teaching ministry of Christ, the revelation of God ministry of Christ, comes back in a man. And if you don't believe it, read Daniel 70th week, and there you'll find three times Brother Branham, the prophet, said back in 60, the ministry of Christ would return to this earth. Read it! You missed it, but it's there. I got mine underlined. Maybe you didn't miss it. I hope you didn't, because you see, I thought I was getting original. I thought, boy, God really showed me something, didn't even show the prophet. I found out, don't even think those thoughts. He already had it. I'll find them somewhere. Everything I say, I'll find everything. And all the good thoughts I think I get, I find, well, he said it ahead of me. Why not? He showed Brother, the Lord showed Brother Branham everything, just everything he needed. And it makes me happy until I get one or two things. I'm happy as long as the same bread. Glory to God, no problem. Now, but notice, but as it was in the days of Lot. What is Lot's day? Sodom and Gomorrah. What happened? It was no period of time, brother, sister, or the sin was there, but when God visited, he said, get out of my Gomorrah, or you're lost. Fire came from heaven. If the Noah's day parallel is the continuous manifestation of God through a man, but the next time is Sodom and Gomorrah, which is what? Destruction. There's your two aspects of coming of Christ. There's your rapture, and there's your revelation when he comes with fire. You follow me? Now notice it. But the same day, D-A-Y, that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, thus it destroyed them all. Now notice the verse 30. In verse 30 is the verse of summation. It says, as this thing is happening, the two major events coming back to this world, just repeating itself, it says that that's the time when Christ gets revealed. But how does the Son of Man be revealed? By the Word of God in the prophet. See? Brother, sister, what did Brother Branham say in Christ the Mystery of God revealed? Didn't he say that Jesus Christ was the center of the Bible? That the Bible was Christ revealed? And isn't it true that the Christian also has Christ in him, which Christ must be revealed? And so in the end time, when the prophet comes on the scene, as it says here in the verse 7 of the 10th chapter, but in the days of the voice of seven angels, in a period of time of the seven messenger, when he shall blow his gospel trumpet, the mystery of God shall be finished. What mystery? The Son of Man. From Genesis right to the end is praised forth by the revelation of God, which is the gospel open to the public. And the curtain is pulled back, and there they see him. And what do they do? What did they do, brother, sister, when they saw God hanging there on Calvary? They just stuck the spear in his side and buried him. What do they do when they see Christ revealed in this age? Now notice, it's a man doing it, because Christ himself does not come back as a man. His feet are on earth, a pillar of fire. His head is reigning in heaven. It's a transition period going on. Everything's winding up. The Gentile age is winding up. The church age is winding up. The tribulation's coming, and he'll come with 144,000, then comes the millennium. Brother, sister, it's a transition period. And not one time does he as person take upon himself his glorified body and show himself. No. In the Son of Man is revealed, brother, sister, it's through the mighty Word of God, and then it's in flaming fire taking justice. Even thus it will be done. Here's your picture. Here's your complete word study. Now, so there'll come a day when a man must come upon the earth, and he will be able to show who he is, because he is already vindicated by Christ, because Christ himself cannot come and vindicate him. He could follow a charge, but not now. No, sir. Because the vindication, what did Brother Brown say the vindication was? It's going to be a Mount Zion showdown. The bride will be gone. And the rest will say, what was supposed to happen? That was supposed to happen. Oh, no, brother, sister. No big showdown between Brother Branham and the world. No big showdown between the bride and the world. No, it's a showdown between God because of his word. And the bride took the word. And becoming the word, she's caught up to meet her husband because he can only meet a blood relation. Isaac, my brother, my sister, married his cousin, a blood relation. The kinsman is a kinsman redeemer. There's a kinsman redeemer. And no one but a relation gets redeemed. Book of life, brother, sister, book of life. Read it. Either you were or you weren't. In the beginning, before the foundation, were predestinated. A predestinated seed, brother, is a seed with a predestiny. Before it is even manifested, its destiny is cut out. What destiny? Destination. He said, I came from God, I go back. But where were you? In his thoughts. If you were there, you got to go back. Predestined. Huh? Oh, the bride knows the groom, don't worry. And the bride also knows the one who comes to espouse. that right? Certainly. Don't you think that the little Rebecca knew Eliezer and loved him? Certainly. My memory doesn't fail me here. I might faint a verse of Scripture. I don't suppose I'll be able to find it, but it's all right. Oh, yes, here it is. Paul said to the bride of his day, remember, Paul was the messenger in the Ephesian church. He said here, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now remember, the virgin has to be a virgin of the Word. What's a chaste virgin? A virgin of the Word. What is a virgin? Well, our understanding of a virgin is a woman who has not been touched by a man. Now, that's correct. That is literally a true thing. But if you'll notice, the Scripture says concerning Rebecca, she was a virgin and no man had known her. So that puts a different light on what God says about a virgin in the Word. Spiritual virgin. See? She was a virgin and no man had known her. Now, let's go a little further. What does the Old Testament say about a virgin? It said if a man says, my wife was not a virgin, I married her, they are supposed to get the cloth of her menstruation, her last period, and present it, her father, mother, and present it to the man, and say she was a virgin. You say, well, hold it, Brother Dale. That sure sounds kind of funny, because what about the fact of owning? He withdrew in order that there wouldn't be seed. So what about if a couple was in that case? Preventive medicine, so to call. Why, you know that wouldn't hold up. What is God telling you? God is telling you that any woman who lay with a man and became pregnant by him would not be a woman who continued to have periods. They got them today, but not in God's day, they wouldn't. So a virgin, according to the scriptural and spiritual understanding, is a woman who does not carry another man's seed when she is met by her husband. She's a thousand. So the virgin bride is not a woman who has not been tampered with. Why? Because we were all sinners. We were all tampered with. Some of us were an organization that came out. But we're a virgin of His Word. Because the word in the Greek, ecclesia, meaning called out, comes from two words, ek meaning out, and logos meaning the Word. Called out by the Word. So if you're called out by the Word, brother, sister, you're a virgin of the Word, you're a virgin bride. Paul said, I've espoused you to Christ as a virgin bride. And this age will have a virgin bride because she doesn't not only know man's creed, which we know that Brother Luther had, which we know that Brother Wesley had, but God said, I will restore Thessalonica, and the bride will be restored to virginity, not by sprinkling holy water like a priest does, trying to make a woman 50 married 30 years and 16 kids a virgin by sprinkling water on. No, she's a virgin of Word. Because all she knows is the Word. How do I know? Because that's all they knew in Paul's day. A virgin of spouse. It's a virgin that Word. So the prophet comes. And he brings the Word of God. And he brings that Word of God in the day, brother, sister, which is according to the book of Matthew, the 25th chapter. I'm sorry, Matthew 24. Verse 23, then if they shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, lo, there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ. Now listen, look in your Bibles carefully. Notice the next statement. And false prophets. Now that's a good translation, but it's not good enough. Because the word in the Greek k often means even, meaning the same as. And the word false is a poor word. Because you see, my brother, my sister, it doesn't bring the import. The word is lying. Like a man tells a lie, he tells something false. So you read it this way. There shall arise false Christ, even lying prophets. See if I can find some here. But there were false prophets also among the people. Even shall there be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord and so on. Peter mentions these men. They're lying prophets. And shall show great signs and wonders. Now listen, the human mind tricks you. Because of 2 Thessalonians, we find where the Scripture said, He shall show great lying signs and wonders. We immediately feel that these men have lying signs and wonders. But if the Bible does not say they're lying signs and wonders, then don't you say they're lying signs and wonders. They are genuine signs and wonders. But the men are false. Why? Because they're not in this Word. Now, brother, sister, remember, the bride's going to be restored. They're going to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Remember, Paul stood before the fathers with his revelation, and the Scripture said they could not add anything to him, but they admitted he had received the revelation by the Holy Ghost 100%. Now, if the original church was a bride of that original Word, it is absolutely true then that restoration is what the prophet told you. It's getting the bride back to the faith of the fathers, which is on that Word. And brother and sister, there's only one place you can have real faith, and that's that Word. And when we know that we know, and we really know that Word, see, that is where the faith becomes absolutely positive and goes toward God and achieves this great result. Now, it says here that there'll be in that last day these men, and the only ones who cannot be deceived happen to be the bride. And remember, the word, the very word elect means the ones who come out by the Word. The ones who come out by the Word. You say, Brother Bill, I come out by miracles. Now listen, that's a good start. That's to get your attention. What happened about the Word? How many people did Brother Branham have in his meeting when he just had the ministry? How many do you have when he could say that I planted the Trinitarian, and I planted the Oneness, and I had fruit off of both? Oh, that was wonderful. Oh, that was good when he could merely say to the ones who the Trinitarians and the Oneness who were fussing at each other concerning the baptism. And he said, you Trinitarians, you believe this good Oneness brother here has the Holy Ghost? And they said, yes. Now you Oneness, you believe this good Trinitarian brother has the Holy Ghost? Oh, yes. Well, now the Bible says that God gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey Him. Who obeyed Him? Why, did you both obey Him then when you were baptized? One in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and one in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was okay at that day, brother, sister. Why? Because He was showing the people the mighty works. But the very minute He began teaching the Word of God, He lost them. The Oneness left Him. The Trinitarians left Him. And He stood all alone, just like the Apostle Paul. All men have forsaken Him. But nevertheless, the Lord stood in Him. On what ground? On the grounds of the Word of God. The opposition Paul had was on the Word. The opposition any man has is on the Word. You can produce miracles by the bushel, they'll love you. Just when Christ multiplied the loaves and fishes, they would have adored Him forever. But the minute He brought the Word, it was too late. They went away. Now the Bible said the elect are those called up by the Word over whom the Word of God came. Who are the elect? The Word of God. The people of the Word of God. Now why did God send the prophet? Because if He hadn't sent the prophet, brother, sister, only one recourse. She had to get ready. She had to get it set. Now remember, Brother Brown said the preview of the bride and the review of the bride. And remember the rock and roll bride of America. And he said, oh God, is this the best us preachers have made? Is this the best I could do for you? Is this what's produced and that was produced? But pretty soon he said in his tears, he heard other sweet music again. And once more he saw a bride just like the last one coming up. But there was one out of step, and he screamed, get in line, get in step. It was the Word of God bringing the bride back to the command, getting ready. Brother, sister, listen to me. The Scripture distinctly says that this word kusma in the Greek is that word of command which puts them in motion. It's the word that puts them in motion. And brother, sister, listen to me. The bride could never be put in motion. She's running toward her Savior now until she's caught up, because Enoch walked with God and was not until God took him. And remember, the bride also must walk with God, and you can't depart from that word. So she'll walk with God till God takes her. But how can she walk with God? The Bible says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? But you cannot agree with God unless you agree with His word, because God doesn't care 2 cents what you say. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth, and with whom took I counsel? You're going to walk with God? You're going to be by His word, brother, sister. This is the shout. This is the message that puts the bride in motion. This is the thing, brother, sister. Why? Because the stone made without hands has begun to come down. And it came down by the prophet with the word. Because it wasn't said to be the voice of God. It was the voice of the prophet. But as David said, thy word, people, David said, thy word was altogether in my tongue. As the Scripture also said, the Holy Ghost speaks by the mouth of David. He was in the prophet. And it takes a prophet last time. What prophet? The prophet Elijah, who comes to restore the bride. How? by bringing back the word. You say, is that what it is? That's what it is. That's the first phase of the rapture. It's the period of time. That's exactly why the scripture says, Brother Branham said, the bride is drying out.
Right. I won't go any more scripture, just talk a little bit.
The bride is green. It's the drying out period. The bride was in the word was in the prophet. But remember, the word has got to go to the bride. The word of espousal has to be in the bride. It's the bride now becoming the word. I hope this Easter they'll publish for you the rising of the sun. And there you're going to find in there, brothers and sisters, something that's going to make you listen. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the account of Noah's right? I want to ask you one question. Who was righteous in the days of Noah? One man. Right? Seven men got in the ark because of Noah. Is that right? And they coming in because of Noah became righteous, where eight righteous souls were saved. Now they got to come under it. You listen to the rising of the sun. Carefully listen, because you'll find Brother Branham typing himself as the only one of this age who could prove that he was weak. Listen carefully. The chaff looks like the wheat. Huh? Want to hear the scripture on that? All right. I said I wouldn't give you any more, but it's okay. Your tape's not running anyway. Always make redeem the time, redeem the tape. You may not pass this way again. Listen to it. Brother Branham spoke of the seed that fell on the ground and came up under Luther, came up under Wesley, under Pentecost, and went to the green. Is that right? Now listen. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed in the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. See, it doesn't come by observation. It doesn't come by man. It just comes because God's in it. And the earth, notice the earth, that's the people, bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full cone of ear. Now notice, our understanding, because the King James Version throws it, we think, an ear, oh boy, that's weak. No, that's not weak. You know what it says in the Greek? I'll read it now, first of all, this way. The earth bringeth forth of herself, first the blade, then a covering for the grain. What about? Is that grain? Is it a shoot grain? No, potential. The life is coming up. Luther had the Holy Ghost, sure. Wesley had the Holy Ghost, sure. Pentecostal? First group did. But it was only a covering for the grain. Then where is the grain? The next stage, in the covering. And the grain comes out of the covering. And it says, then a covering for the grain, then the fully developed grain in its covering. What happens? Brother, sister, listen to me. At the time the Son of Man is being revealed, the bride is being brought back to a virgin who will reveal the word, because she will be the manifested revealed word for her name, because the Son of Man revealed in flesh is like this sermon, the Brother Branham is the bride in every age. And this bride here being that Son of Man revealed in flesh, because of the Spirit of God, she will separate from the chaff. And it will be manifested now by the Mount Zion showdown, because the grain goes up and the chaff is burnt. That Bible? Learn it, Bob. I want to ask you a question. Did you need a prophet to come? Did you need a prophet? Or were you okay by yourself? Oh, I can think all these good thoughts, Brother Dale. I don't need anybody. I can fight this all on brothers, sisters. We ever needed fellowship and people getting together and quit their differences. I don't condone one thing outside the scripture, but I don't condone a fight either. I don't try to persuade anybody. All anybody try to persuade me. I want to know if the prophet said, and if the Holy Ghost takes that word and makes that word real. Because brother said that, thus saith the Lord. I talk to you and they wonder why it is that I don't have my own thoughts. I try not to have them, because my thoughts aren't worth having. What a man is he? What a man thinketh, so is he. Remember, Brother Branham said the mind was the womb of the word. Remember the time he held up the Bible in one of the meetings, he said, listen, folks, when this Bible gets in here, the mind, and then down to here,
Then he said, it comes to that. Open our minds, brother, sister, is a big secret, but to the word of the prophet. Remember when they turned down Stephen, they closed their ears, they gnashed with their teeth, and they destroyed him. And he said, behold, I send you apostles, a prophet, I send you scribes, and I send you wise men. And he said, some of them you'll kill, and some you'll persecute. And he said, I will have gathered you. Now, brother, sister, listen. God does not gather into the eternal kingdom of God in glorified bodies by the prophet. It's by a message he gathers. Remember, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering. Our gathering starts right down here. Right now it starts, because the gathering is unto the word where the carcasses, their eagles, gather. Where the big prophet brings the word, the little prophet come burn in. Fresh meat for its eating. Did we need Elijah the prophet? Yes, we did. Why? To turn us back, brother, sister. Because except Brother Branham, the prophet of God had come, there wasn't one of us going to make the rapture. He said, oh, Brother, don't Brother Bail me, honey. I got the word. Oh, well, Jesus Christ died upon the cross. Sure he did. No doubt about it. Oh, yes, but he's a great intercessor. Hold it. He just came off. He came off. The thunder's uttered. The book is open. Now where are you? Now where are you? Oh, bleeding lamb. It's the lion's roar. It's the coming victory. It's heaven and earth about to shake. Signs and wonders will be gone. You say you don't need probably God. You don't need God then. Elijah must first come and restore, brother, sister, lest I smite the earth with a curse. That means we're all gone. But he found Elijah, didn't he? Man, rather, he found Noah, didn't he? One man, right? One man righteous, he found it. And seven more heard the message, and they came. One man this end time week. He could prove that he was seen. Show me a man of all the ages from Paul down. Show me even the ministry of Jesus Christ. No different. I'm not comparing now and making Christ small. I'm just showing you something here. Show me a man in all history who could say, bring me your 24 worst cases. I'll guarantee healing for all. Or let him pass through a fair act. Show me. Show me, brother, sister. You say there was a showdown in Chicago when those 300 Pentecostal men of the Greater Pentecostal Ministry Association came and denounced him? You, that was it? No, that was Mount Carmel, brother, sister, and they didn't know it. The real showdown is Mount Zion. Because the bride's going to go, brother, sister. If you've heard the voice of Elijah, there's no doubt you'll hear the trumpet call, shall we drink? That's right. Don't forget to write your questions down. Try to answer everything we can Thursday night. Not that I can answer anything really, but I love to know the tenor of the people, their hearts, and how they're thinking. And once in a while, I'm helped a whole lot just thinking about what you're thinking about. That's right. So I love to know. You understand? All right. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you now for the time we've had together. Tonight, Lord God, we know that you have been here by your word. You haven't been here by your servant here, Lord. That's true. I'm not looking for anything from anybody, Lord, looking to me, because I wouldn't do that. But Lord, tonight, you have been here by your word. You have been here, my God, by your spirit, taking that same word and showing that it's exactly one. And now, Lord, we know tonight that there is no such thing as a word falling in a wrong ground. In fact, Lord, the ground has already brought forth in that seed. We're right up to the end time, Lord, where it's just a matter of the wheat coming out of the chaff. Now, Lord, we know we're all green tonight. I'm very green myself, Lord, not in so far only as that I couldn't take a lot of your good word and bring it out in the way I offer to your people, trying to help them, Lord. But now looking at my own life, oh God, what a green person I am when it comes to all those other beautiful factors which are wrought into your spirit. And I pray, Lord, for all of us tonight, not just praying for myself, that would be selfish, but Lord, remembering how that the bride and all of us, all in the bride, we're just in this great big old miserable, greasy, filthy lump of the last days. Doctrine, creeds, and dogmas, spotted and filthy, thinking we had so much and we didn't have anything. Then, oh God, your spirit by the prophet came and showed us that we had to come up, or we'd be condemned with the world. If we didn't hear Elijah, when there'd be nothing left but a curse. Just smite the earth and get it over with. But oh God, like that dear old ark, the Noah built, there came one, and he brought that word, and we entered into the word, and the word entered into us. And we believe we're identified now by that Christ, the Word in it. And we're looking forward, Lord, to come to that maturity wherein one day we're going to stand upon this earth. And in these bodies, Lord, some of us here tonight, maybe every one of us tonight,
Oh God, I pray that it might be true of everyone. As we stand in that last day, suddenly we're going to feel a vibrant change.